And it is time for the Berkshire Edge on Air. That's time where we speak with Marcy and David from the BerkshireEdge.com, the BerkshireEdge.com, and just go over, touch on some of the stories that you'll find 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at the BerkshireEdge.com. And we
actually, Marshall, it's 30 hours a day.
No, that's how much you work. People can only find it 24 hours a day.
But we work on it 30 hours
yes,
a day.
There's no doubt about that. We understand that. But at least... at least you don't have to worry about painted lines in Great Barrington.
Well, that's true. We don't have to worry about
they're all done.
That's all done.
That's all done. So people know where to park and where, you know.
People can now flaunt it and say, I didn't see it.
That's right. That's right.
But they're just freshly painted. Well, yeah, but they weren't there before, so I'm not used to them.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, let's go right to the top of the list. Great Barrington, the pot capital of the Berkshires.
Well, I'm being a little facetious, of course.
I don't know. I think you're pretty...
You're right on, actually.
Well, we will have more than anybody else. It's not that we're going to be the only place, but we are certainly going to have more.
I think if we change it to the legal pot cap of the Berkshires.
Before it was just the pot capital and it was illegal, but now it's legal. Yes, the Great Barrington Selectmen, our select board, is wrestling with how many of these pot shops should they license? And they've had quite a discussion about this. It's not an easy decision, actually.
Well, I would think that because if you allow one, how do you not allow another?
Well, exactly. But on the other hand, there are some limitations to where they can be situated. But it seems as if any vacant storefront in Great Barrington is an eligible candidate for a new shop. And we have the names are quite imaginative for these establishments, the proposed.
What are they? Do you remember?
Well, there's the one at the Flying Church. But in any case, there's Theory Wellness. Now, what is Theory Wellness? What does that mean?
Right.
And then there's High Minded LLC.
High Minded is great.
I like that one.
Well, you see.
Then there's Calyx Berkshire Dispensary. How about that?
I actually like Theory Wellness because in theory, the medical marijuana.
That's probably what it means.
In theory,
you get well.
You get well with CBD oil and with marijuana. So, Theory Wellness is, on a medical term, actually applies well. It's not as fun as the other names, but it applies well.
Like high-minded.
How about this one? Community Growth Partners.
I'm surprised somebody hasn't named their shop Up in Smoke yet.
No one has yet.
Whoever's got that proposal is apt to be granted it. It might be the last one. But
it's not only smoke now. You know, you can buy edibles.
Edibles.
Right. And oils.
CBD oils. You can even buy CBD marijuana, which does not get you high.
Right.
Yeah, it does not get you high. So if you want to act like you're smoking marijuana, you can and do the CBD oil thing. You can do it that way. I mean, it's just back when I was growing up and smoking marijuana and doing drugs many, 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 many years ago, there was just one marijuana. Just one. marijuana.
Yeah.
Now there's like everybody grows different varieties of it. It's absolutely amazing.
Yes. Isn't that interesting?
It's a cash crop.
Well, there were varieties in your day.
Yeah, but you added things to them. You didn't actually grow it with, you didn't change the strains.
There was something called Acapulco Gold.
Yeah. Right.
The gold standard.
Yeah, but I mean, so there was like, all right, maybe there was like three things. But now, I mean, it's like going to McDonald's.
Well, the thing is, there's a huge amount of money for the towns involved here.
Oh, yeah.
Because they get a percentage of the sales.
3%.
And so there's quite a bit of revenue that's going to go to the towns, and so there's a kind of incentive actually to license more.
Unbelievable.
But in any case, they had quite a serious discussion about the implications of having these pot shops throughout town. And it wasn't so long ago. You know, I remember 14 years ago, that'll date me, but there was a famous bust of teenagers in the parking lot in Great Barrington that the state...
By bust, we mean arrest.
An arrest.
Not a statue.
Yes. Arrest of like 14 teenagers for possessing pot in the parking lot of the Great Barrington next to the movie theater. It was conducted by the undercover state police officers. And, you know, some of those kids went to jail.
And their lives are ruined.
And now, you know, it's legal.
Yes. Yeah, there's a certain element of je ne sais quoi to all of that. That's just, you know, we call that evolution. But
We do? Is that what we call it?
You got to call it something. No, seriously, it's just, you know, it's a sea change from X years ago. And, now the town is having a, let's say, reasoned, but whatever, spirited debate. I'll say that. Town's having a spirited debate about how many shops you can open to sell something legally that we all know people who got into massive difficulty over.
Right.
But things change.
I mean, it's the same, I suppose, as licensing stores that can sell alcohol. Just the town is granted by the state a certain number of licenses. So this is the same kind of regulation that's going on with marijuana, I guess.
All right, let's leave marijuana in the rearview mirror, and let's go on to your state senator reflecting upon his accomplishments.
Yes, Mr. Adam Hines is actually a very popular state senator, and we have a profile of him talking about what he considers, you know, his accomplishments, but also the challenges that he's faced. Not everything that he would have liked to have been able to accomplish, he's been able to do, but he's quite an smart, and I think we're lucky to have him, is what I'm trying to get at.
He's very conscientious. I mean, he has been right from the beginning. He hit the ground running. I mean, he's a very experienced guy, too. He had a very interesting background in international diplomacy. I mean, people were wondering, really, when he ran the first time, whether this was made up, but he has turned out to be extremely conscientious, very bright, knows this area well. So he was easily reelected for a second term, and he seems to, but when you read this article, you see the schedule is exhausting. You know, he has to be in this district, he has to be visible. He also has to be in Boston, constantly, and how he manages to do both is really, it's challenging. And he's getting married in August, so I imagine his fiance would like to see him every once in a while.
Well, maybe not. You never can tell.
Maybe it's
one of the pluses.
Adam has just been, his background is part two has been in anti-poverty projects. So, his heart is in the right place, I think. And he's worried about education and transportation, and he's his focus is really on a progressive agenda for the Berkshires, which is what you'd expect, actually, from this area. An interesting read. It's an interview with him by Sheila Clary, one of our writers, and he's quite, you know, open about the challenges that he's that we face here and that he faces as a legislator. He's an interesting representative, and everyone's wondering whether at some point, at least I am, whether he's going to run for, say, a higher office, because he's quite talented and young.
Well, I think that we'll find out after his first year of marriage.
<That's right. laughs> Yeah, right.
Well, there's that, too. That's right.
Now, it's coming up to July 4th. When we were recording this before July 4th, and whenever I think of July 4th, I think of the fireworks after Tanglewood's James Taylor concert. But they've opened up a new center for learning and performing at Tanglewood as well.
They have, yes, and it's quite spectacular.
I went to the opening on Friday to the ribbon
Marcy
cutting.
Marcy was a special guest.
No, well, David had been invited too. He just didn't come. But it's really a beautiful building. It's got very flexible space. The building actually is a couple of buildings connected by a covered walkway. And it has first of all, a performance space with that's extremely flexible. There are stadium seats in it which collapse into the wall so that it can be a big open space. It has at the end of a short covered walkway a couple of other individual studios where people can either practice or perform. And it has a big cafeteria also, so that it can be a place where you can have conferences or performances or other kinds of, you know, educational gatherings. And it was built by or designed by the same architect who did Ozawa, so it matches Ozawa very well. And it fits right into the landscape beautifully. It looks like it's always been there.
Yeah, that's Bill Ron, an architect.
Bill Ron from Boston.
Yeah, I've known him for many years. He did a lot of the buildings at Bennington College when they were building out there too. So his distinctive style of them being really melded into the landscape. He's quite gifted as an architect.
Yeah, really. Is.
Yeah.
They had a very nice opening on Friday morning and tours of the building. But it's going to be very exciting because it means that Tanglewood is going to be open and busy year-round. I mean, this is the Lindy Center for Learning. It's the Tanglewood Learning Institute, which is going to be at this building called the Lindy Center. Because the money was donated by the Lindy Foundation in Boston.
I was about to ask you that. That's where the name came from.
And Mrs. Lindy was there. You know, they are apparently very philanthropic. Mr. Lindy died about a year or two ago, but she really spearheaded this project with the chair of the board of Tanglewood. But everyone is very excited about it. And, you know, we're excited, too, because this means now, I mean, Jacob's Pillow has built a year-round facility. Now Tanglewood has built a year-round facility. It's going to be, this is no longer going to be just a summer community, which will be very good, I think, for residents and second homeowners to have, you know, all this cultural activity. Because the season in the Berkshires is exhausting. You know, everybody crams everything into 2 months, and it's like living in mid-Manhattan. You know, there's so much going on in July and August that you really can't take advantage of it. And if it were possibly spread a little bit better, it would be much better.
Well, you know, there's another aspect to this that is that these, because they're going to be year-round, they extend into the school season.
Right.
And that means that kids and students here can take advantage of being able to see these kinds of artistic creations and performances during the school year, and that can become part of the curriculum of the schools in the county. which I think is in the back of the mind. It's been, that's been a long time goal of the officials who run the these cultural organizations is to think about incorporating the cultural offerings into the educational system here.
Right.
So now they can be now they'll be able to do it.
Well, it's very interesting because there were a number of speakers at this opening, and they had a very coordinated message. And the message was that this is a further commitment of Tanglewood in to this community. And they all said this, that that with the opening of the center, Tanglewood is no longer in the community, it's of the community. And they want people to realize that Tanglewood is for everybody, and the, you know, and the whole community is welcome. And this is a their strong commitment to the community. So clearly, you know, they're wanting to be very integrated, and I think David is right. That means more connection with schools, more connection with young people, which is, you know, which is very important because you look around Tanglewood or any you know, the musical presentations in the Berkshires, and the audience is all gray hair. And no one has been able to cultivate the next generation of music lovers.
I think the best people at that have been Shakespeare and Company, where they invite high schools in.
They do.
That's right.
They've been,
they're high school. They're program year-round. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's. I think eventually that will happen at Tanglewood now that they have
sure hope
the space
so, because,
for it.
Because you know I chair Close Encounters with Music, which is a wonderful chamber music series that goes on from October to June, and we have tried desperately to try to bring young people into our concerts. They're very accessible, and they're, you know, they're, and we give free tickets and greatly reduced tickets. And you know, we can't seem to get not just young kids, but we can't get their parents. You know, so there's a generation of, you know, 30 to 45-year-olds who just, or 25 to 45-year-olds, who just don't know, you know, who have no interest in classical music, and it's not taught in schools anymore either. So the children are not learning it. Nobody is being introduced to it.
They don't.
So I am certainly hoping that the Lindy Center in Tanglewood will be able to accomplish that.
You know, people forget the bridge to classical music to music we have today. That back in their time, classical musicians were treated just like the musicians you see today. They were famous.
They're just like rock musicians.
Changed things. And you know, you can't really understand music unless you expose yourself to all of it. It took me a while.
Right.
It took me a while. When I got into broadcasting, it took me a while, but my appreciation of everything from classical to rock and roll to hip-hop or whatever is there. I don't like all of it, but if you sample enough of it, you do find music you like in all genres, whether it's classical or hip-hop,
right.
You really do. It's just a question of sampling it.
You know, I mean, you know, unfortunately, people think that this is highbrow, it's not for them, it's off-putting, it's not, you know, and I'm not sure why, but that seems to be an issue, that people feel, that, you know, that it's not for them.
All right, I want to move on because we here have been highlighting fireworks celebrations in our area, and you have
not just fireworks; they're parades
and everything. We
celebrate the 4th of July here.
Yeah, but you know
up and down the county with a number of events.
You know what's interesting?
We have a list
though?
Of them here, but I mean, one of them is, of course, the fireworks at Tanglewood after you know, with James Taylor. Traditionally performs on the evening of the 4th of July. And then after his concert, they have a spectacular fireworks display from which you can actually, one of the things I like and enjoy doing is taking a kayak out in the middle of the Stockbridge Bowl and watching the fireworks from there, which is a lot of fun, actually. There also other events, among them a reading of the Declaration of Independence at Shakespeare and Company, which is a traditional event. And there is the Fourth of July parade in Pittsfield, which is a huge event, which used to be on television. It used to be America's parade, and they used to broadcast it because it was it's such a huge parade. And in Williamstown, there's also a parade. So up and down the county, there are all kinds of different events for Fourth of July, and we have a list of them.
You know what I found with our list this year also is that not only there's events from July on our list. There were events from June 30th through July 7th, all relating to the 4th of July in our area.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You know?
That's great.
Yeah.
But one thing I can say we don't have, we don't have a military parade with tanks.
Shame on you.
I know. You know, we're just not really patriotic Americans, are we?
Could you imagine putting a...
We celebrate the meaning of the Declaration of Independence instead.
Can you imagine having tanks go over that freshly paved Great Barrier?
Oh, God.
Oh, well, anyways.
Let's not get started.
No, it's not. All right. Hey, the Hidden Forest. What about the Hidden Forest?
Oh, yes. This is a wonderful... This is a wonderful series. I mean, David, I didn't mean to preempt.
No, go right ahead.
We have these two writers, Carolyn and Eli Neuberger, who are, you know, who do a lot of our reviews. They do Tanglewood reviews and Jacob's Pillow reviews. They are a couple from Boston who has now completely, they always had a second home here, but they have now moved into their second home full time, and it's close to the woods. And Carolyn has started with her little dog exploring the woods and she finding mushrooms and finding other edibles and just reporting on what goes on in the forest all year long. She's an artist and a writer and a photographer, and so her accounts of what's happening in the forest are accompanied by her lovely original artwork. And at first I thought, oh, God, this is going to be boring. I am completely captivated by her articles about what she finds in the forest. And I think everyone will enjoy them. They're really very special and very unusual.
All right. Now, we have about a minute and a half left. And you wind up talking about the National Memorial for Peace and Justice.
Yeah, we had a... We have a writer, Chet Delaney, from Egremont, who sent us a piece about having visited a national monument in Montgomery, Alabama, that commemorates what he calls the American Auschwitz, which is the treatment of African Americans throughout in the South. And it's called the National Memorial for Peace Justice.
Right.
And it's
in Birmingham.
In Birmingham. Montgomery, Alabama.
Montgomery, Alabama.
And it's a, I guess, a recognition of some of the darker sides of American history, which is the, and it's quite stunning, the exhibit and the
Memorial.
The memorial.
Two buildings. There's a museum to slavery and, and a memorial, which is... a very dramatic memorial.
And he talks about the extrajudicial, extra-legal killings, like the lynchings. And he collects the names of all the people that he can find.
The museum does. The memorial.
Collects the names and honors
and
them.
And the states where lynching happened. And they are hoping that various states will claim their own responsibility, and fill in the names. Also, they're sort of like metal coffins hanging on rods from the ceiling, and also slabs on the ground that have the names, the states or counties, and the names of people lynched. That they could find, but. It's very nice. He just went down there as a private citizen. He's not really a professional writer, but he was so moved that he wrote this and presented to us, and the museum gave us, the museum and memorial let us use some of their pictures. So it's now, you know, we're concerned, of course, because there's, you know, there's great discussion over whether you can call the camps at our border concentration camps, and he is calling his article American Auschwitz. But he explains in the article that the purpose, you know, today of Auschwitz is to remind people and make people, you know, think about the kind of inhumanity that was perpetrated. And so it's, he, of course, he recognizes that this is not a concentration camp, but he, it is the kind of memorial that Auschwitz represents that makes people remember.
All right.
So that's the reason that he used that title.
All right. Well,
we think it's appropriate.
We are flat out of time, but I want to wish you both a happy 4th of July.
You too.
And you too.
We will speak to you again next week.
Yes.
You certainly will.
Don't get into any trouble.
All right, we won't. Take care.
Bye.
That is Marcy and David from the Berkshire Edge, theberkshireedge.com, theberkshireedge.com.